stories will come.
Yeah, and most of them are on YY anyway, yeah. Because it's much easier for them.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. 好 ，Saki 开始吧，金来开始吧。
Did you get my message about people bringing their book?
Yes, yeah. We sent the message.
Okay.
今天的课呢，请大家在手边准备好这个《心与灵魂的连接》这本书。好，那我们今天的这个《心与连接》的这个课程的今天的这一课就开始了。我们还是非常幸运的能够邀请到来自于加拿大的两位非常资深的奉献者啊，
是
Utma Mataji。那他们两位呢，都是在 Krishna 之觉里面已经有很多年了，他们也是 Srila Prabhupada 的信徒，他们的婚姻也有43年的这个时间了，所以他们在这方面在沟通婚姻这方面有非常深的这个经验。好，那我们现在就开始吧。Okay, Haribo.
Respect them.
Shall we start?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So this week, Pancha Kalpatrusya, Kripa Sindhavevita, Patikan, Mamiyo, Vaishnavevya, Namonaha. So this week we thought we'd talk about communication.
Which is chapter 3 in your book.
今天呢，我们想要讲的是咱们书中的第三章，也就是说沟通的艺术。
So very often when we ask couples, what's the problem with your relationship? They answer communication.
很多时候我们都会问一对夫妇，说你们两个人之间存在的主要的问题是什么？那这个答案经常就是说是沟通问题。
And so learning how to have good communication is quite an art.
其实沟通呢是一门艺术，是需要学习的。
So maybe we can start with a brainstorm about what does good, open and honest communication in a relationship look like to you? Give me some of the symptoms.
那首先呢，我想请大家来一次头脑风暴，也就是说大家能够想到哪里的话就发上来，让我们知道。我们想让大家想象一下，你觉得一种非常敞开心扉、开诚布公的一种非常畅通的沟通方式会有哪一些特征？
So who's going to reply to this?
Yes, all the audience.
Yes.
You can write in the chat or raise your hand.
你可以打开视频来回答，也可以发到留言板。然后 Sati 那边呢，就是把大家的答案给他 forward 过来。等一下啊，我把那个留言板打开。The symptoms of like a successful communication, right?
Yes.
Okay. 就是一种非常成功的一种沟通，它会有哪一些特征？Both sides feel very fulfilled, very satisfied.
Feel satisfied. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
就是我刚才说呢，就是双方都感觉到内心非常的满足，非常的愉悦。
The key question, how are you?
Why you ask the question now?
No, that's the key question in communication. How are you?
Okay.
来的想法部分就是说，在一个沟通当中，一个非常重要的一个问题就是说，你好吗？
Of course.
That's a good.
互相的询问你好吗？去表达感谢。
Any others?
其他还有什么样的答案吗？Not feeling threatened to open your heart.
Feeling comfortable to speak, yes.
Mm-hmm. 对，就是说会有一种非常畅所欲言的那种感觉，就是可以自由自在的敞开心扉，然后说出自己的心里话，而不会觉得好像有一种威胁。
Rajananandan Prabhu, any suggestions?
Good communication will come from when we speak to each other. It's when the other parties knows that what you come through to them is genuine. Not something that they have. There's no hidden agenda. That's good communication.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a hidden agenda or there's a motive, sorry.
就是相互是一种尊重的这种态度，而且。就是知道对方他是由衷的一种非常真实的开诚布公的一种表达。
If one were to communicate with no agenda, someone had put the microphone on.
What did you say?
If one were to communicate with no hidden agenda or no motive, then we gain trust from the communication, and then the friendship will grow.Whether it's between devotees or between a husband and wife or between friends or any kind of communication, any kind of relationship.
就是这样的一种沟通，它双方都没有一种非常潜在的一种私人的动机，或者说一种个人的欲望要满足自己。这样子的话，不光是在奉献者之间，还是在非奉献者之间的话。就更加容易达成一种非常通畅的一种沟通。There are two. One is that there's no attitude or any mood mixed in there, like personal attitude. The second one is that both are willing to listen to each other.
Yes. Communication isn't just about talking, it's about hearing also.
对，因为沟通不仅仅是去讲话，还有倾听，它是双向的。
So she's something wrong.
There's some very good points that you brought up. One was that you feel satisfied.
就刚才我们说到的第一点说得很好，就是说双方都会感觉到一种内心的满足。
Long after the conversation, you might forget what a person said, but you're going to remember how the conversation made you feel.
就是两个人对话之后，可能很久之后，你已经忘记了具体的你们到底当时在谈些什么，但是那种对话所带给你们的这种感受是永远不会忘记的。
And there was a good point about the essence is, well, how are you?
还有说到你好吗这种关切的那种问题也是非常好。
And in North America, it's quite common. The greeting is, hello, how are you?
在这个北美这个地区人特别容易相互的这个争论。
And a very common answer is, oh, I'm good.
What?Very common what?
The common answer, most people will answer, oh, I'm good.
It's just the automatic answer, good.
Okay. 因为很多人他们就是不假思索的会回答没问题，挺好。
And
but that answer may be hiding a lot of things.
Yes.
I'm great.
Oh, 我挺好, 非常不错。
I'm actually depressed, but I'm great.
但实际上内心是非常抑郁的。 但是表面上的话, 它就是好像是自动的一个机械的一个回答。 哎,挺好, 挺不错的。
I will often ask devotees when they say I'm good, I will ask them, what does good look like?
每一次我问问愿者说你好吗?问愿者说我很好的时候,我经常会问这样的一个问题,到底好在哪里? 这个好,这个好的多好,这是什么样子的?
I saw one Mataji at Rathyatra, I hadn't seen her for a whole year, so I said, how are you?
然后呢,我见到一个奉献者,一个Mataji,有一年没见了,见到他的时候,我就问他说你好吗?
And I knew that her husband had died the year before.
我知道她的丈夫呢,是在一年之前去世了。
So she answered good, and so I said, well, what does good look like for you?
所以我就问她说,你这个好到底表现在哪里呢?
And so she replied, my brother just died a few weeks ago.
然后他就说呢,我哥哥几个星期之前去世了。
So I said, well, that must be very difficult for you.
所以说呢,我就知道了,这肯定是很不容易,这段日子。
So it's nice in those kind of readings with our friends to take it a little deeper in the communication.
所以说呢,两个人之间沟通的时候,就最好不要 由于这个表面,应当要更加深入进去。
Because very often we communicate on very superficial levels.
因为两个人的沟通很可能只是停留在表面。So
most people, when they think of good communication, it's communication that's on a little bit deeper level.
所以因为大多数的人当说到是比较好的一种沟通的话, 他们就会觉得这样的沟通一定是比较深入的。
So the points that you brought up as a group, we'll address those as we go through the different points in this chapter.
所以刚才大家所说的这几点其实正好就是在我们这一章里面都有所涉及。 I think there are two more answers or two
okay.
more points.
Okay.
Yeah. One is that each of them have the ability to have the empathy for
empathy.
Each other, mm-hmm. meaning that I stand in your position to feel what you feel.
Right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. empathy. And the second, and another one, she commented that how are you? This might be just or she said I'm okay. It may just be a very polite expression,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
which means that he or she actually mm-hmm. hasn't opened her or she,
right.
his heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's not formality, yes, politeness.
Those are all great answers. And, you know, at least the person's being polite. that's good. But when we think of good communication.
就是,
most of us are craving for something a little bit deeper.
就是他一开始是客气的,就是说明他已经开启了一个非常好的一个沟通。当然了,好的沟通还意味着要更加深入进去。So
there's actually four different ways in which we communicate.
其实呢,人跟人之间的这个沟通呢,可以有四种方式。
So one way in which we communicate is through our actions.
第一个就是我们通过我们的行动来进行沟通。
That if I'm having a discussion with you and you make some requests of me to do some things. If I don't fulfill those requests,
when you say
that will undermine your sense of trust in communicating with me.
那比如说我跟你进行, 沟通对话然后你请求我去做一件事情但是呢我却没有去做所以这样子的话呢就非常有可能损害到你对我的信任。
So if we say one thing and do another,
还有一个就是
as Rada Charan is saying, we lose trust.
还有一个就是说你是口是心非的话那这样也会让对方失去对你的信任。
And when our actions meet our words, that shows as a person we have integrity.
当一个人是言行一致的时候说明他就是一个非常正直的人。
Another very important part of communication is tone of voice.
然后第二个非常重要的这种沟通的方式就是通过你的语气去传达你的声音语气
the tone of my voice when I say my words has a very big impact on how you receive that word.
就比如说你在说一个词儿说一句话的时候这个时候你的那个语气就非常重要你到底是用一种什么样的声音来说这句话的那么就会对对方产生一个非常大的影响。
I can politely ask you to sit down.
Please have a seat. Please have a seat.
我可以非常礼貌地跟你说请坐。我可以礼貌地跟你说请坐。
I could, I won't.
Sit down.
对但是你我也可以命令式的。
Yeah.
坐下我也可以这么说
是的
就是对就非常厉害的说请坐也可以传达出这么一种命令的或者是贬低的那种意味
So that has a big impact
所以说你的这个声音你的语气会对对方产生很大的这种影响
And then obviously actually the words that I saythey also are very important for communication.
当然了还有一个显而易见的就是你跟对方沟通的时候你到底说什么话你的话的这个内容当然就会很大的影响到对方。
And then, the next thing that greatly impacts communication is body language.
然后接下来一个就是对两个人的这个沟通会产生非常大的影响的是 he didn't see which.
If you have a very
most people can't see though.
Yeah,
people in Hawaii aren't going to see. Okay. So if I have very very harsh facial expressions, that's going to carry a lot of impact with my words.
就是你的那个表情非常的重要在你跟对方沟通的时候
And if I visually show interest and respect for you that's also going to have a very big impact on the conversation
比如说我跟你说话的时候我表现出极大的兴趣还有对你的这种尊重那你当然心里面就会有这个非常好的感受。
So it's interesting research that shows in communication, 55% of the actual communication occurs by facial expression, body language.
那么就是研究者们他们经过调查研究表明其实在两个人的沟通当中呢有 55% 是通过他们的表情和肢体语言来传达的。
And only 7% is transmitted by words.
其实只有 7% 是语言本身的这个传递。
So these days we think we have good communication just by texting on these things.
Yes, 我们现在的人都以为我们只要拿着手机在上面发信息，这就算是一个很好的沟通了。
The chances of solving a conflict or argument by texting are 0%.
就是说通过互相的发信息来解决一个冲突的这个可能性是零。
It's very difficult to have full communication.
因为通过这个仅仅是没有这个表情参与的这样的一种仅仅是通过手机上的短信的这种沟通它其实的这个效果几乎为零。
So if you have your books with you, you will see three or four pages into the chapter, there's a little list of ways in which we undermine communication.
就是在这里讲到了有一些情况下可能会损害到沟通的有效进行。
So we might think that we're communicating, but actually these actions put roadblocks into our communication.
就是一个如果是行为不当的话，有可能呢就会产生这样的一个情况。你觉得你跟对方在进行这个沟通，但事实上你们两个人之间有一个无形的高墙把你们两个给隔开了。
So we can see that simple things like you're trying to have a two-way conversation and the person's just instructing you, oh, you should have done it like this. You know, you have to do it like that.
比如说你试图跟对方去传达一件事情，跟他进行沟通，可是对方呢，他就老是在教你，哎，你应该这么做，哎，你应该那么做，就是对你有点那种指使的那种感觉。
You know, what to speak if we threaten the other person when we're having a conversation. That's obviously not good communication.
比如说呢，有的时候呢，两个人沟通的时候，一方对另一方老是一种非常威胁的那种态度，这个肯定这个沟通就不利了。So
if we look through this list here, we can see that inadvertently, we may find ourselves just doing those things and wondering why the other person doesn't respond very favorably.
Can I read those points in case some devotees don't have the book with them? Just quickly read those points. 或者是容易拿自己当一个参照物，哎，我怎么样，我怎么样哈？或者说是老是对对方指手画脚去指导他，或者是一副那种布道者的那个样子，跟对方在那儿布道，或者说呢，老师说就是去解读某一种东西，说这意味着什么呀？这个为了要去吸引这个对方的这个注意力，还有一个老是随便的去评价评估。 或者说呢，就是说不赞成对方那种，或者是嘲笑对方，批评对方那个侮辱啊什么的，这个都是不太好的。所以呢，其实这些方面有的时候我们就是会不知不觉的在做这些事情，就是。 在你非常粗心，你其实并没有去想，但是你不知不觉已经都这么做了，非常武断的这么去做了，所以这个对沟通是非常的不利的。One
common mistake, one common mistake we often make in our close relationships is we tend to preach to each other.
然后呢，就是我们只有之间沟通一个经常常犯的一个毛病，就是说好像互相在那儿布道传教那种。I
just love it when we're having a conversation and it gives me a Bhagavatam class.
What?
Can you say that again, Uttama Mataji?
I said, I so love it when we're having a conversation and all of a sudden I start getting a Bhagavatam class.
就有的时候我跟他在聊天，哎，聊着聊着就变成讲圣典伯加瓦坦课了。I
recently watched an exchange between Mahatma Prabhu and Chaitanya Chandracharan about those issues.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 我最近呢看了一个就是对话，就是 Mahatma Prabhu 和 Chaitanya Chandracharan。
And they mentioned that oftentimes the couples, they will bring up quotes from the Shastra as an argument.
There's a time and a place for preaching.
实际上这个传教是要讲究时间和地点的。
However, in our close relationships, it's extremely important that we understand each other and we understand that we sincerely ask this question, how are you? What are you feeling? What are you experiencing?
所以说就是双方对话的时候有一点非常重要，就是你要抱着去，就是善解人意、理解对方的这种心态去跟对方去沟通。当你说你好吗的时候，那是真心实意的在对对方去表示这种关注。And
therefore, Rupa Goswami, he recommended these loving exchanges, two of which are to reveal your mind and heart in confidence and hear in confidence.
这就是为什么这个Rupa Goswami他说到了，就是在封印者的六项那种交流当中的，说到了就是要敞开心扉，吐露心声。And
that's an extremely important exchange in communication because we understand how our spouse feels. And having someone understand how we're feeling helps us also to process that feeling.
而且呢，如果是你能够通过表达让对方去了解你的感受，其实也是对你自己的一种感受的很好的疏导。And
that type of communication is very important for us in our spiritual life.
那在我们的这个灵性的这个生活当中呢，这样的一种类型的沟通是极其重要的。
Because in the highest sense, in the highest platform, we're looking to develop loving sentiments and feelings towards Krishna.
因为呢，从终极而言，从这个顶点而言，我们都是想要去培养出对 Krishna 的一种最高的一种纯粹的爱。
And if we're not even aware of our own feelings and our own emotions, not able to communicate them, how will we ever be able to access these subtle transcendental emotions?
那如果说我们只是陷在自己个人的这种情感，这种情绪当中，但是却没有这种能力去 表达自己的所思所感的话，那我们怎么有能力去触及到一种更加超然的那种精微的情感，那种爱呢？
And therefore, someone mentioned in the symptoms of healthy communication was the importance of empathy, of really understanding deeply the other person.
那刚才大家还有讲到的，就是在一个非常好的沟通当中呢。 就是要站在对方的这个立场去考虑问题，就是设身处地的考虑对方的感受，或者说呢，是心理学里叫做共情。
So very important to be aware of these items of mind communication.
所以说呢，在沟通当中呢，要去理解这些要素是非常的重要的。
Because we often hear ladies saying, oh, my husband doesn't open up to me, he doesn't talk to me.
因为我们经常有听到这个女士说，那个我丈夫呢，他不跟我说话，他也不敞开心扉，他这个人特别的闷，经常我们这么说。
So the first thing is to look at ourselves and see, well, are we doing any of these things that we're just kind of shutting the other person down?
所以首先我们就是要自己的对照一下自己，就是我们有没有做这些破坏沟通的这些事情啊，真的就是说让对把这个对方都给这个打击了他的这个跟你沟通的这种兴趣，打击了他的热情。
And then
I'll just say also, we can take questions periodically in the different sections we're going through. So as we're going through the material, if you have any questions, you can write them in the chat box.
那接下来我们在讲的这个内容的过程当中，大家随时可能会有一些问题，你可以随时把它发到那个留言板里面。那 YY 上的听众的话，就可以发到 YY 上。然后请 Sati Mataji 给转到这个留言板里面，我们就看到了。在整个过程当中，你们可以随时提问。
And then we see that there's also communication block that can happen between partners when they get over familiar with each other.
There will be some communication. I know, but the beginning, what will happen when there's over familiar?
There's a block.
Oh, okay, block. 那就是说，如果是双方，我们有时候看到夫妇之间的话，他们如果是就是对对方熟的太熟了，就太随便了，这个时候也会对他们之间的这种沟通产生障碍的。
You know, like for example, you can like.If he says something, I roll my eyes, you know, that's kind of a universal, you know, facial expression.
Yeah. 就比如说对方说了一些什么，然后我就那种转着眼珠子，就是那种满不在乎的那个样子，那这个可能就是在沟通当中经常出现的一种情形，就是你太不把他当回事了，就是说太熟悉太随意了。
You can kind of send the message that what he's saying I don't think is important or that I don't agree at all.
或者说对方说了一个什么你会觉得你完全的不同意，或者说他说的根本没有意义，就给轻易的打发掉了就是。
But we're always better to start with a positive. Is there something about what he's saying that I can agree?
就是说，其实我们每一次听对方讲话的时候，我们首先要有一种正面的一种心态，就首先要想一想他讲了某一些东西，是不是我可以认同的，有我可以认同的地方。
And then sometimes we can get frustrated that we haven't been able to work through some things, and we get frustrated when the person brings it up again and again.
那有的时候呢，因为前面的积压的一些问题还没有解决，然后可是对方呢又是唠唠叨叨，经常把这个事情提起来说，就是我们说的哪壶不开提哪壶，所以这个时候你也会觉得很烦，也觉得很沮丧。
As couples, we really need to learn to not avoid conflict. It's better to try to actually thoroughly resolve something.
所以说呢，其实我们作为夫妇的话，
You know, other things that are quite painful in communication are that when someone wants to talk to you and you're just refusing to talk.
还有一个在对话沟通当中最让人难受的一件事情就是对方想跟你交流跟你对话可是你拒绝。
But we all need to develop, you know, humility and respect and get a little bit beyond our egos and be willing to have the conversations.
所以在这个时候我们就是要有一种谦卑的和尊重的这种心态。我们要突破自己的这种小小的假我的局限,超越这种假我。
And another thing is just to give our partner attention when they're approaching us.
还有一个就是说,当我们的这个配偶来到我们面前的时候,我们要给他们以足够的关注。
If we're doing something else when they're talking to us, or we're turning and walking away, or just reading our
looking
cell phone, you know, and not paying attention.
就比如说对方要跟我说一件什么事情的时候，然后我就走来走去，然后看手机，然后去东瞧瞧，西望望，就是满不在乎的那个样子，这就是不利于沟通了。It's
very interesting, but we have no idea how impactful those little interactions are.
你根本就不知道，当两个人这样互动沟通的时候，那些看似很细碎的小事，会对这种两个人的这种沟通的心理产生多大的冲击。Because
when our partner's making a for our attention, they're just trying to say something to us or connect in some way, and we don't respond, that builds up over time.
Build up what?
Builds up.
Tension? 就是说两个人如果来沟通，然后那个对方呢是比如说想跟我认真的要说一件事情的，但是呢我就是好像很忽略，很无所谓的那个样子，你根本就不知道就是这样的一种态度，其实就给两个人之间的沟通造成了，无形中造成了很大的紧张。
Because all those little bits for connection, they help to develop trust when we respond.
其实是就是当我们去回应对方的时候，虽然是一种很小的一些回应，但是它也可以帮助就是对方双方就是增进他们之间相互的信任。
So if each time our partner's, you know, reaching out to just communicate with us in some way or connect in some way, and we're not responding, over time that's going to very much erode the trust that this person is there for me.
沟通，但是呢，你非常的冷淡、无动于衷，也没有什么反应，然后对方慢慢一次又一次的这种积累，他就会感觉说，他是否真的还在乎我呢？
So there's
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Whether it's the man or the woman, each one will have a specific language to request attention.
就是男女双方他们在进行沟通的时候，男人和女人都有自己各自的需要对方关注自己的时候所用的一种特定的语言。
For example, the woman may say, I need to sit down with you. It may not be serious, but just to say, I need to sit down with you can ring the alarm for the man. Like, what's going on?
就是这个女方，她其实可能就是一般说了一句很简单的话，我们俩坐下来吧。
Oh, what did I do wrong?
这个男方马上就觉得好像，这个就好像那个警钟长鸣一样，他立刻就感觉那个警钟响起来，哎呀，是不是我又做错了什么事情？他要跟我坐下来好好的谈一谈。
Or if she says, when you have time, we need to have a meeting.
或者呢，另外一方就是说了，你有时间的时候，我们俩再一起开个会吧。
I mean, it's so formal.
哦，就是当你这么说的时候吧，显得特别特别的正式。
Or can I talk to you?
或者会突然跟你说，那个，我能不能跟你谈谈？
It's actually threatening.
实际上当你说，我能不能跟你谈谈，对方立刻就感觉到有一种受威胁的感觉。
Is there a specific wording that would make it really smooth?
有我们有没有一种就是比较正的一些语言的表达方式，使得这个沟通能够更加的顺畅轻松一点呢？
It's important for couples to understand that the purpose of communication is to have a meaningful connection.
就是其实对于这个沟通的双方来说，他们两个都要有一个共识，就是说我们之间沟通的这个目的是为了双方之间有一种非常有意义的连接。Research
actually shows that what couples are fighting about, it's not money, it's not the in-laws, it's not the children, it's not sex.
其实有一些研究者他们早就已经做了大量的研究，这个表明其实夫妻之间的这个大量的这种隔阂，这种问题，其实跟金钱没有关，跟这个公公婆婆、什么丈母娘、岳父岳母这个都没有什么关系，跟孩子也没有什么样的关，也没有太大的这种关系。What's
actually causing the friction? The conflict is the fact they feel disconnected, they don't feel understood.
就是呢，这样的一种摩擦的产生的主要的原因是觉得两个人就是连不上，两个人连接不上，就是会觉得你不了解我，你不理解我，这个是造成夫妻两个人最大的摩擦的原因。
If they learn to actually understand each other with empathy, the problems become much more manageable.
如果说对方都能设身处地的对为对方着想的话，其实他们之间的那种矛盾冲突是可控的，是可以处理好的。So
one thing that can make it much more easy for men to be open to hear.
就是有一个能够让这个男方他能够更愿意敞开自己的心扉去聆听对方的。Is
if she, if the wife tells her husband, can we sit down for a few moments? We need to connect.
就是我们两个人能不能坐下来坐几分钟，我们两个得就连通一下。
They're both actually looking for connection. So women, they tend to connect by talking.
那女性呢，通常她的跟对方连接的方式就是说话。And
for men, it might be something like shared activity.
男方呢，他可能一般都会借助一些具体的行动。So
if couples can sit down and have a dialogue, that what do we both need to connect and have a healthy relationship?
就是说这是两个人他都应该有这样一种愿望，就是能不能坐下来，能够几分钟之间，能够在这几分钟当中之间，两个人呢能够沟通，能够连接上，能够相互的去理解。
And that manifests differently for the husband and the wife, and that's something they need to understand about each other.
那么就是对方到底哪一些，就是比如说我到底希望对方能够理解我哪一些方面呢？作为男方和女方来说，可能是不一样的。
And that comes through open and honest communication.
那你怎么才能够互相的了解到对方他其实需要什么样的理解呢？这个除了相互之间的这种沟通之外，应该是没有别的办法。So
it's like if the woman wants the husband to talk, he has to put the accent on the right syllable.
就是说，如果是女方，她希望对方男方他能够。 好好坐下来跟他那个对话的话，那他必须要知道他应该把他的重音放在哪个音节上。换句话说，就是这个语气非常的重要。And
if she says sit down, we need to talk. She's got the accent on the wrong syllable.
如果说他就是这样说，那我们得好好的说说，我们得好好的谈一谈。 那么这个他可能把他的这个重音放在了，放错了音节的话，那表达出来的这个口气就不一样了。
So again, if she can put the accent on connection, how can we sit down and talk about connecting on a deeper level?
那前面呢那种说话的方式很沉重，对方可能就会很沉重了，感觉很紧张。但是如果说他明快一些，说我们能不能坐在一起，我们。 能够连接一下，连通一下，沟通一下，这个就好很多。And
once the man feels connected, understands that you want to connect, automatically he'll start talking.
然后当这个男方他能够感觉到女方的这种愿望，愿意跟他这个连通的这样的一种愿望的时候，他很自然就会受到鼓励，他就会愿意开口说话，就会。
We previously talked about the male-female paradox.
我们之前说到了这个男女的这个矛盾问题，是非而是的这个问题。The
women tend to feel connected through talking.
就是说女人呢，一般来说她会习惯于通过。 讲话来跟对方连通。
And usually men can't think about talking until they feel connected.
但是男人正好相反，他除非感觉跟你已经连通上了，否则的话他就不愿意开口说话。
Like when they're worried.
when they are worried, 当他们，特别是他们很紧张、很焦虑的时候，他们更是不爱说话。
Because Radha Charan seems like worried what you have to talk about. He's going to get sauced out.
And the woman, she can't feel connected without talking.
He said that.
So.
A woman. 就是一个女人的话，她哪怕。
This is 100% normal. And all couples need to learn to discuss this.
Sorry. 100%的这种现象是非常的普遍的，就是夫妻都会有这样的一种感觉的。
I have a question.
我的张白有一个问题。
What do you do in a situation where one of the two has the tendency to pile things up? You know, the person doesn't talk, but it doesn't mean they're quiet. It means they're just piling things up. So much so that it's impossible to, you know, what do you want to talk about? It's gone too far.
有一种情况该怎么办呢？比如说双方两个人，至少有一个人他的心事攒了很多很多，之前也从来没有说敞开心扉好好的去沟通一下，就是梳理一下的，就是攒的太多了，多到已经堆积的不可救药了，就这个时候哪怕是他们再坐下来去沟通去谈话都已经没有办法了，那这种情况下该怎么办呢？
It's actually important to talk about one thing at a time. You can't talk about many things at once. So when you find that you have a bit of a pile, you need to choose the easiest one, start there, and have some success.
所以说呢，把这些事情都记在心里面，越积越多，实际上是一件很不好的一件事情。最好我们还要及时的去把它化解掉。那么这么多事情多如乱麻，你不知道从何开始的时候，你就要找到一个最容易开始的一件事情，从这一个最简单的这件事情开始入手去谈。
For couples in that situation, it's very often effective if they can just decide to set aside 30 minutes once a week.That we're going to, you know, talk through some issue. And you start with your easy one, and you just do one. And then the next week, you try another one, like that.
所以呢，在这种情况的这个夫妻，他最好有一个共识。比如说，我们一星期，我们找到一个30分钟，就是半小时的这个时间，然后呢，我们来沟通一下。我们可以从一个最容易、轻松一点的一个问题先开始讲。那么第一个问题解决了之后，我们再讲第二个问题，这样一个一个逐个的给它解开。
So when you have those types of conversations, though, you do need to practice very effective empathic communication.
就是说，所以呢，就是在对方双方两个人在一起沟通的时候，一定要有一种有效的一种共情，或者是设身处地为对方考虑的一种模式的沟通。
And we want to especially avoid these behaviors that undermine communication and that block our communication.
所以我们要尽量的要去。避免一些可能会对我们的沟通造成损伤或者说阻碍的一些行为。
So the first thing is to actually learn how to have a good communication and learn the skills.
所以很重要的就是说，这种沟通的艺术、沟通的技巧是应当要去学习的。
And so we've been discussing different blocks to communication, and from that we can see how important it is to have healthy communication.
所以其实我们已经可以看到很多就是阻碍了正常沟通的一些问题，所造成的一些后果。通过这些，其实我们就能够明白有这种健康的沟通是多么的重要。
There are researchers who came up with this list of these blocks to communication.
就是有一些研究人员，他们就罗列了一些给对双方之间的沟通造成障碍的一些行为模式。
They studied couple interactions for over 40 years with great detail, and they canPredict with 96% accuracy if a couple will divorce in the future by watching them talk for 3 minutes.
Oh, wow. 这个他们的研究成果是基于40年的这种经验。然后呢，他们最后就是能够非常精准的预测到，他们只需要看夫妻两个人三分钟的沟通，他们就能够精准的预测到他们是否会以离婚告终，而这种准确率在96%。
So that list is like a bunch of red flags to look for.
所以呢，这个刚我像我们这里罗列的一些这种夫妻间沟通的一些障碍啊，这些一条一条的，其实这个就好像是那个红灯一样的啊、亮了这个红灯或者亮了这个警钟，敲了警钟了啊、就是临界点的东西，大家就得要非常注意。
And seeing those red flags in a relationship is a very important signal that we need to develop healthy communication and learn the skills.
所以说呢，就是当我们看到夫妻之间的这种沟通当中已经亮了红灯了，那我们应该要学会去识别出这种红灯的这些标志。所以这样子呢，我们及时的去学会这个沟通的艺术，通过沟通的艺术和沟通的技巧来及时的解决问题。
So, part of healthy communication is to have, you know, a good body language, a good stance, to have open body language, to be listening.
然后这个健康的一种沟通呢，往往都是从一种很好的肢体语言开始的。还有呢，就是说你一种善于倾听的一种态度。
And the biggest part of good communication is actually listening, more so even than how we speak. It's how we listen.
实际上一个非常好的这个沟通的成功的秘诀，其实更在于你的聆听，而不是在于你的表达。
Some people say that God gave us two ears and one mouth because we're supposed to listen twice as much as we speak.
你就看这个神他给我们创造的时候，创造了两只耳朵，一张嘴，意味着我们的这个聆听呢要应当是我们说话的两倍。
So when someone communicates something to us, our first job is to make sure we understood before we respond.
那么当对方跟我们沟通的时候，有一点就是说，我们必须要保证，就是在我们做出反应之前，我们一定要是充分的理解了对方的意图或者他的意思。
And if we want to be effective, we actually need to listen with our heart, not with our ego or our mind.
所以如果说我要让这个沟通非常有效的话，很重要的就是我们要用我们的心灵去沟通，而不是用我们的心意或者是我们的这种假我、我执哈。
So we actually need to make the other person feel heard and understood.
那这样子呢，就不会让对方感觉到，就是可以让对方感觉到啊，他说的话我们听到了，也理解到了。
And that is important, as mentioned earlier. That's how we build that sense of trust in the relationship.
那这个就像是我们前面所提到的一样，那双方之间的这种相互信赖的、信任的这种关系就是这样逐步建立起来的。
So, once you get practiced at how to use empathic or reflective listening, like reflect back what you understand.
To reflect on what other people, the other person tells you, right? Reflect. 就是去反思，去思考。
Yeah. Because it's very interesting when we start doing that, we very quickly understand how little we understand.
因为实际上是真的是这样，当我们真的静下心来去反思的时候，我们才发现原来我们对对方的这个理解是微乎其微的。
So, first we need to clarify what the other person's speaking.
首先呢，就是对方跟我们说了那些话之后， 我们首先要澄清一下，哎，他是不是这样说的？啊，是我听对了没有？这个很重要。
Maybe ask them a few more questions about it.
To clarify, 我们可以反问几个问题，来确认或者是澄清对方的确是表达的是这样的一个意思。
Or maybe we want to encourage them, you know, but in our response.
或者呢，就是说通过我们的这个反应来鼓励对方，给对方一种鼓励。
Tell me a little bit more.
好，你可以跟他说，你再多说几句啊，再往下说，这样。
Or we can, you know.Validate what they're saying. Like, I appreciate how you want to get this straightened out.
或者说你向对方表达这种欣赏啊，或者是感激的这样的一个那个意思。
Or maybe we need to reflect their feelings. Oh, I understand you're really upset.
或者说呢，去重复对方他的那个，就是他要表达的那种情绪。比如说，你说啊，我知道这一定很让你难过。
So these are also in your book different ways in which we can initially respond.
那大家看这本书的时候会看到，就是讲到了我们在这个对话中先听了对方之后，我们一开始的时候可以作何反应。
And it actually takes quite a bit of practice to respond to another person empathically.
所以说呢，实际上呢，要去做到这种设身处地的去聆听和跟对方沟通的话，这是需要有一定的练习的，要去实践的。
And I think the biggest tip for doing it well is to realize that it's about the person who's speaking, not about yourself.
我想呢，就是说一个非常重要的一个沟通成功的一个关键点是在于你要知道你不是以自我以你自己为中心，而是关乎的是对方，是对方是你真正要去关注的，而不是关注的你自己的感受。
So you want to respond in such a way that you help that you understand that person instead of all of a sudden switching the conversation to being about you.
所以说呢，就是当你对对方做出回应的时候，你要让对方感觉到，哦，你理解了对方的意思，他的感受等等，而不是说这个对话都是围绕着你自己展开的。
Because if we think it's about us, we can get defensive.
因为如果说我们给对方的这个反应呢，给他的感觉好像你其实只是关心你自己的话，那么就是对方就会有一种自我保护的一种心理就会升起来了。
Or in another situation, want to express something to you, and then you will respond, "Oh yeah, that happened to me." And then you all go on about your own circumstances, and then you didn't really hear the person.
对，有的时候呢，对方跟你说一个什么事情，你立刻就接过这个话头，就说：“是啊，我也是这样的，我也有过同样的经历。”然后你就开始也稀里哗啦的就开始讲自己的事情了，然后没完没了。那等于你把这个话头给转到你自己这儿去了。
So, in one sense, we need to slow down the conversation a little bit and thoroughly understand each other.
所以呢？就是双方在沟通的时候要把这个节奏放慢，而且要确保我们的确双方都非常透彻地理解了对方的意思，理解了对方的感受。
And that in itself can stop so many conflicts between couples because we've actually understood the proper intention of the other person.
所以实际上如果能够做到这一点的话，夫妻之间的很多的这个矛盾呢都会就是得到这个解决的。因为这样的一种有效的沟通就说明了你真的是已经明白了对方的用意，对方的这个他的这份用心或者他的意图。
Okay. So, learning how to first listen, until the person feels understood, and then say, oh, now can I have a turn and explain how I feel, is a very effective way to really understand each other.
就是说首先呢你要耐心的去听完对方向你的这个表达，而且呢然后要表达向对方反就是有这种回应，让他感觉到你已经理解了他所说的这种话，然后你再可以转接过来说啊，那我现在来跟你分享一下我的感受或者说我的经验这样子。如果是能够这样的话，那就可以形成双方之间非常通畅的相互理解的一种沟通模式。
And that can be hard to do, but I think we just have to sort of visualize, okay, I'm going to take my side and I'm just going to put it down over here and I'm just going to really concentrate on understanding how you feel right now. And my side can wait. I'll pick it up later.
And my side can wait. I'll pick it up later.
那么这个做起来可能不太容易，但是你可以想象一个画面，好像你就是把你自己先置之一边了，把我这个我先搁到一边，先别去管它，让它在那儿等候着。然后现在呢，你只是全神贯注在对方的身上去，专注的去聆听和理解对方。
And then when you can feel like, yes, he really understands me, then,You can switch places.
直到对方他的确是感觉到哦，你真的是理解我了，你理解我的意思了。那么这个时候你再改变一下你的位置，就是从对方那个转到自己来开始讲自己的那个感受。
So from one point of view, this is a very important skill for marriage.
所以说呢从某一个观点来说的话，这个是在一个婚姻当中的就是这样的一种沟通是极其重要的。
And from another very important spiritual point of view, it's a very essential element in our spiritual life.
那么从另外一个观点来说的话，另外一个角度来说的话，这个也是我们的灵修生活当中的一个重点。
So Rupa Goswami,
基础啊，很重要的。
Rupa Goswami is recommending this loving exchange of revealing your mind and confidence and hearing it.
所以 Rupa Goswami 就把这种敞开心扉吐露心声相互之间的这种推心置腹的这样的一种沟通呢，他把它称为是一种爱的交流。
And that is a loving exchange in devotional service.
那这个恰恰就是我们的奉爱服务当中的爱心交流。
So even as Radha Charan says, we have this pot stacked up problems, and we take one out and have a discussion on it.
那就像是像 Radha Charan Prabhu 刚才所说的一样，我们的这个问题堆积的太多太多，太高太高了。然后我们现在从第一个开始来进行沟通解决。
We're not going to argue. We're going to have a loving exchange. I understand you, and you understand me.
那这种情况下，哪怕是他所说的这样的一种状况，我们依然可以沟通。就是我们双方都达成一个共识。我们现在不是来吵架的，不是来争论的，我们就是要好好的来推心置腹的进行一场沟通的。
And we understand when you engage in devotional service, the ocean of material existence shrinks to the amount of water in the hoofprint of a calf.
那我们也知道了，在我们去做这个奉献服务的时候， 那么这个整个的物质的这个苦海，这个汪洋很快就缩成了一个小牛蹄踏出的一个小水洼。
So when you respectfully and compassionately understand each other using Rupa Goswami's recommendation,
所以呢，你如果说能够遵循 Rupa Goswami 的这个推荐，然后以这样的一种方式来从事奉献服务的话，
your problems become much easier to manage and solve.
那你的这个问题其实就是迎刃而解了，非常容易的就可以解决掉。
And as Grihasthas, we have two of those exchanges of Rupa Goswami's perfected, accepting prasad and giving prasadam.
当然，作为我们居士来说的话 ，Rupa Goswami 说的那个派发普沙党、接受普沙党，这也是我们经常做的。
Sometimes we give gifts and accept gifts.
还有就是互赠礼物啊，给予礼物和接受礼物，这几条都是居士生活可以达到完美的一些秘诀。
However, this respectful hearing and understanding, that's something we as Vaishnavas all need to practice.
那么像这样的一种带着一种恭敬心，一种尊重去聆听和表达的话，作为 Vaishnava 奉献者的话，我们都要去这个践行的。
So it's very easy to find instructions on how to execute reflective listening or empathic listening from any book or on the internet. It's very easy to find the technique.
就是你可以通过一些书籍啊，通过互联网啊，在网上特别就可以很容易的找到这些沟通术，怎么样就是以一种这种设身处地的这种心态啊，用这种共情心理能够和对方达成一个比较好的沟通，这些信息很容易找的。
So we would actually recommend that you try to understand the technique and try to apply it. It's the application that's hard.
所以你看，其实这些信息是很容易得到的，但是其实真正难的是怎么样去践行就是怎么样把它运用到我们实际的生活实践当中去。所以说我们会极力的去推荐大家去试着尝试这些沟通的技巧，沟通的这种方式去练习一下。
Once you start practicing it and get a little bit adept at it, you will actually realize how effective it is.
然后你经常去练习，练习着练习着，然后你就就得心应手了。然后而且你能够很快的就能够感受到这样的一种沟通的技巧或者说艺术所给你带来的好处。我再补充一下，就是问题是刚才一开始就说过了，随时可以提问，随时可以贴到留言板上哈，不用等我们讲完。OK, I just remind them that they can ask questions anytime.
That is your question.
Yeah. I was just going to say that I would suggest that if you're meeting in groups or even pairs, that you find somebody that you could practice reflective listening with, so you get skilled at it.
所以我也会推荐大家在小组联谊聚会或者说一对一的在一起的时候，你们可以试一下这样的一种带着思考的有意识的这种沟通应当是怎么样的，你们可以去练习一下。
And again, for the ladies who are listening and want to improve their relationships, I remind you to put the emphasis on telling your husband, I think this is something that can help us connect in a more meaningful way.
This is something helpful for what?
To help. If the ladies can tell their husbands, I think this can help us connect. Can we learn to connect by doing this?
Okay, 就是我是想提醒一下，就是那些想要提高跟自己的丈夫的沟通，沟通那个效果的这些妻子们，就是说你把你的重点放在说，我能不能跟我的丈夫之间有一种非常好的连通，就是你要跟他连接起来，这个是非常的重要，就是应当是你的一个关注点。联通。
So, a big part of communication is to speak for yourself, and that requires using I messages. Yeah.
沟通当中很重要的一个部分就是说你要去联系自己去进行表达，这个时候你就要用我开头的这种信息的表达。
So when we speak, we want to just describe our feelings and our needs.
所以说你在沟通的时候可能会讲到你的感受，还就是我的感受和我的需求。
Not saying you do this and you do that, just saying I'm feeling this and I need that, instead of, you know, imposing on the other person.
你可以这么表达，就是说我需要什么，我感受到什么什么对我来说很重要，这样的一种语气和说话的方式，而不是说把这个东西强加到对方说你应该怎么样，你应该怎么样。
Like instead of saying, why didn't you call?
你可以就是你不要说你为什么不打电话。
You can instead say, I feel worried when you don't call and tell me you'll be late.
What?
Can you repeat, please?
Instead of saying, why don't you call me? You can say, I feel worried when you don't tell me that you're going to be late.
就是说那个比如说你说你为什么不给我打电话，你不要这样子讲，就是好像质问对方的那种口气，而是说就是当你没有跟我说你为什么要会迟到的时候，当你没有把迟到的原因跟我提前说明的时候，我为你感到担忧。
Yeah, it's a good tip when you're using that reflective listening or how to help you avoid using those communication roadblocks.
所以说就是不要把这个在你们之间的沟通之路上面去设置这个路障了，我们要尽量的去避免那种可能变成路障的那些东西。
An important part also of communication is understanding your feelings, what you're trying to communicate.
然后就是还有一个就是说你要知道你怎么去表达自己的这种感受，你要把你的感受你的感情以一种合适的方式表达给对方。
Linguistic experts have studied that in the last 100 years the number of words used to express feelings has been very much reduced.
而且语言学家们他们做了一个很深入的一个研究，他们发现在就是在过去的这个100年当中，表达情感表达爱的这种语言这种词语大大的下降了。
Like in Bhagavatam it describes in Kali Yuga, the finer sentiments of human beings become very much diminished.
就是像在《博伽瓦坛》里面所讲到的，就是说人的那种细腻的那种情感是越来越少的。
There's a cartoon, a lady wants to talk to her husband about feelings.
Sorry? Did you...
A cartoon, you know, like a yes.
Yes. About?
The lady wants to talk to her husband about feelings. What do you feel? She asked, what are you feeling?
就是有这么一个动画片里面说的一个女人她要跟男人去沟通这个自己的感受。
And he says, I'm hungry and I'm tired.
What?
He says, I'm hungry and I'm tired. Is there anything more than that?
然后他就说呢, I'm hungry or angry.
I'm hungry and tired.
He says, In other words, men only have two emotions, hungry and tired.
<笑>然后呢就是对方呢对方就是说我就是又饿然后又累换句话说就是说 那个男人还有什么其他的更多的丰富的感情吗? 没有了,就这么两件最基本的事情是他们最关心的,一个就是说怕肚子饿,还有一个就是累,这两件事情。
We might be feeling angry and I might express some anger, but if we look a little deeper, we might find it's not actually anger.
有的时候我们表面上好像是出现的那种情绪是一种愤怒。 但实际上你深究进去你会发现其实它并不是一种愤怒。If
I look within, I might just be, maybe I'm just dissatisfied or maybe I'm frustrated.
可能你深究下去你会发现其实就是说是因为你自己有一种挫折感,一种很沮丧,挫败感,所以才会有这种愤怒的情绪出现。And
that's a lot different than being angry.
这个和真正的愤怒是不一样的。 Yeah,
I'll just say one last thing. We have a default mechanism to go to the most gross emotion.
We have default emotion. 一种默认对于那种非常粗糙粗暴的那种感情表达的话，我们好像已经把它设为一个默认的模式了。So it
can be helpful to look in our book and examine the list of feelings, both positive and negative, to give you a better vocabulary. And you can also find these lists if you look online also.
所以大家可以去看一看，就是我们的这本书里面去看到一些，用哪些词语，用哪些语言，这个应该是非常有利于去沟通的。这也是沟通艺术中的一部分。另外，你也可以到网上去查找一些有关沟通方面的一些资料。那在那里面，你也一样可以听到很多很好的建议。
five questions.
We could take questions. Yeah. I didn't catch that. I was just, pardon?
Okay. Yeah, there are five questions.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead. Yeah. Yes.
第一个问题是沟通可以改变彼此的说话风格或者说话语气吗? 沟通可以改变对方的性格吗? Does communication help to change each other's style of talking and each other's language, the mood, does communication help to change each other's personality?
It helps each other to change the tone in speaking.
Yes. How do you love Savinda?
Very much yes? so.
Is the question, does it help to change our tone? Is that what the question was?
You said that is a good communication help to change each other's language style or the way of speaking or the tone? And does communication help to change each other's personalities? like you have certain personality. You always speak in this way. You always speak in with this tone. But communication, does it help to change that?
It can.
Yes, because we understand we are all conditioned souls, materially conditioned by the modes of material nature.
这个是可以改变的，因为我们能够明白，我们首先我们就是都是受条件限制的灵魂，我们是被这个物质的能量所物质自然形态所束缚的。
And generally, our behavior is to criticize, to argue.
一般来说，在这种 物质形态束缚下的人，就是习惯的一种说话的方式，就是抱怨啊，那个批评、指责，然后争吵、辩论什么的。And
if we examine those behaviors, they're not that pleasurable, and they're actually in the modes of passion and ignorance.
所以你可以深究一下这样的一种行为模式啊，你就会发现，最后其实就是，让对方都双方都感到非常的不愉快，而且它还就是大大的，促进了，激情形态或者说情欲形态和愚昧形态的滋生。And
these skills are a very practical way by which we can elevate our interactions to the mode of goodness.
那实际上呢，我们所给大家所讲解的这些沟通技巧，其实在很大一程度上可以帮助双方都能够提升到善良行动。And
we actually have that choice in our life, in all our interactions, that how do I want to respond to the situation, in the mode of ignorance and passion, or in the mode of goodness?
所以说在我们生活当中所有的这种互动沟通之中，其实我们都是有一个都可以掌握一个选择权的，就是我们希望我们的这种沟通是一种善良形态中的沟通，还是滑到这个情欲形态和愚昧形态之中呢？
And sadhana bhakti means to learn to make those choices at those moments, how to move towards the mode of goodness and pure goodness.
所以我们通过这种规范修习的话，其实慢慢的我们就会掌握到怎么样在这种沟通当中，尽量的去提升，往上提升到善良形态，而不是就更多的去进入到激情、情欲和那个愚昧形态之中。
And it may not be easy because of our conditioning, but we can practice.
这种深受局限的这种状态可能是会非常难的，要改变是不容易的。但是呢，我们可以通过不断的练习、不断的实践，是可以做到。
A big part of good.
And if Krishna sees our determination to elevate ourselves to the mode of goodness, he can help us.
那就是当我们有这种强大的这种愿望，想要上升到善良形态中的时候， Krishna 他是看到我们的坚定的这个决心的，所以他也会帮助我们。A
big part of improving our tone or our communication and our way of speaking is to understand how to use the pause button.
还有一个就是说要去改变这个说话的这种语气啊，还有说话的这种方式的一个非常重要的一点，就是你要懂得按那个暂停键。Just
pause for 1 or 2 seconds before you automatically respond and think what will be the most beneficial way to say something.
就是在你不假思索的脱口而出之前，你能不能暂停这么一两秒钟，然后吸口气去想一下，我究竟应该要说出什么样的话才是更有效的？That's
the special prerogative of the human form of life.
That is what?
A special prerogative for the human from above. Yeah, the facility.
Okay. 但是其实作为我们人的话，就有这样的一个很重要的一个特权，就是我们是可以啊、就是去理性的去思考一下，然后去反思一下。
Like animals, they just instinctively respond, react.
比如说动物的话，它对某它对它也是一种应激反应的，它的反应的话都是凭着本能的。
We can pause and we can think, oh, what does this person need? How can I say something in a kind way, like that?
就比如说作为人的话呢，我们就可以暂停下来，然后过一下脑子，对方到底需要些什么样，他的需求是什么，我怎么样才能够帮助对方。
And in that way, we can change our tone and our response.
好，那在这样的话呢，在这种情况下你就可以改变这个说话的这种语气了，音调什么的。
Because we can learn, we can learn better ways in which to do things by practice.
因为呢，其实就是我们通过这种实践啊，这个熟能生巧，通过实践，我们其实是能够找到能够改善我们做事方式的一些好方法的。Next.
And sometimes we may say the wrong thing and realize it.But we can, like when you're taking a movie, you can make an edit. You can say, let's stop here. I want to reshoot that scene.
Rewind.
Rewind.
有的时候，我们就是有的时候我们说了一些话是不恰当的，可能也伤害到对方，但是我们也没在意，也忘记了。但是你说到后面的时候，你可以像电影里面去编辑、剪辑、编辑这样子的一种方式，剪辑掉，或者说倒带倒过去，停下这么几秒钟来说，哎，我们能不能倒回去，把前面那个刚才的问题再说一说，然后你可以弥补一下。
Next question.
So I said I have gone through two marriages. Personally, I feel that simply.Based on the communication skills, it's not very effective because for 10 years, I had been learning the skills in communication and more than that, I'm a professional communicator. And I personally feel the biggest problem is your wish, your intention, your wish.
Intention.
Therefore, I want to know your wish, what I want to do, your wish.So I want to know how to inspire the willingness of the other person's communication. Willingness in. Like, I want to communicate with you. That kind of inspiration. How to, inspire that willingness to communicate.
By...stopping and taking a lot of time to understand the other person, doing a lot of listening and reflecting so the other person feels heard.
我觉得在这个时候聆听是非常的重要的，你要花很多的时间不仅要去聆听对方的讲述，而且你要去思考然后去试图理解对方的这种需求。这个很重要，这样就可以鼓励对方。
Because often when the person feels understood and they feel safe being able to speak, then they will start to open up.
就是当对方他感觉到他讲话的时候，他有一种安全感，他越有这种安全感，他就越是能够敞开心扉，就愿意去说。Can I add one thing?
So
how to have this initial start? Like you said, listen to the other person, but that person doesn't want to speak from the very beginning. So what can we do to inspire their willingness to communicate? 哦，我刚才补充了一下，那就是说最一开始怎么能够让他就愿意去跟你讲，然后你就可以沟通呢？我们可以做些什么能够激发对方的最先的这种沟通这种？
One thing you can do, as I mentioned before, is to ask the question, I would like to try to understand what you need to connect in a meaningful way.
就像我前面所说的一样，你可以先问对方，我想知道你觉得要有一种有意义的这种连接，我们双方之间的这种连接应该怎么样去做。
So our goal is to have a meaningful heart-to-heart connection, and one avenue to that is this meaningful dialogue.
So clarify with the other person what he thinks is the meaningful way to communicate.
Not communicate, connect.
To actually connect. What do they need to feel connected in love?
What do they need to feel connected and loved?
Yeah.
就是说你先要了解对方的那种就是需求，他希望怎么样的一种方式，他怎么样才能够感觉到一种被爱的感觉，以及跟你可以连通的这样的一种感觉，这样的一种有意义的这种连接对他来说是意味着什么？
还有一个行，我可以用语音吗？因为好像问题没有到点上。
他们还没有去啊。好
啊，是这样的，就是做一个探讨哈，不只是一个提问，就是刚才那个 Priya Madaji 翻译的，就是补充的那个问题，其实是有一点点跟我原意不太吻合。就是开始的时候是很顺畅的，就是我聆听他的时候是很顺畅的，他说任何他可以一直说一直说一直不停的说，然后他也是很敞开说他的就是感兴趣的点。是很敞开的，但是呢一到他的卡点的时候，他固有的模式卡点的时候，举个例子，他如果对金钱这件事情是有卡点的，所以一提到钱的时候，他就会立刻的有一个盔甲盖在他的身上，然后从那一刻就断了，就不会再有更深入的关于金钱上面的讨论和话题继续下去。那其他你跟他聊其他不同不痒的问题，聊他很开心很得意的问题的时候，他可以滔滔不绝跟你聊一天一夜都没有问题，但这个事情一旦转移到他的卡点上面的时候就有问题了，是这个意思。对，不是说开始怎么打开，开始已经很打开，而且如果不打开也不会走进婚姻。对，但是在婚姻当中肯定会有更深刻的问题需要我们去面对，比如说孩子的教育问题，比如说金钱的问题，但是一讨论到孩子和金钱问题的时候就卡住了，就没有办法继续进行下去，每一次都是这样。因为我也是学过一些沟通技巧的嘛，但是没有用。那我下一段婚姻，就现在的这一段婚姻呢，就是不需要这么打开，因为他本身就有这个愿望，所以不需要用这些沟通技巧，都非常的顺畅，因为他没有金钱和孩子的卡点。所以这个是我要说的，就是探讨跟马太基做一个探讨哈，就是说其实到底技巧重要还是我们解决它的卡点更重要，就如何打开这个卡点。
What I want to discuss with you is not this actually the communication skills. I can take myself as an example in my communication with my former husband. If you talk about other things, he will be very interested. We have no problem with communication, and we are very happy talking with each other. If we don't have very smooth communication, pleasant communication wouldn't even enter into the marriage. But the problem is whenever it hits the blocking point, which is the sticking point, the things that my former husband didn't want to touch, it's like the weak point of him, and it immediately throws up, and it's like immediately have the helmet close, and we stopped, the communication stopped there. It can be the money or it can be about the children's education. At that point, he would just stop and refuse to communicate. And with my second husband, it seems that there's no problem with that. From the very beginning, he was willing to communicate and he had no blocking points like what I said about children's education or money. He had nothing at all like that. So my question for discussion with you is, which is more important, the communication skills or to solve those sticking points or the blocking point of some in someone? Like, it's very deep rooted.
Well, for sure, you have to see the deep rooted issue. And one thing that ladies need to understand is that men can, if we trigger, men get blocked when they feel inadequate.
就是女人她要明白的一点就是说男人当他感觉到不足他 不足或者是心虚的这个时候呢他这就可能就会有一种障碍就堵住了。Can you explain more about inadequate?
So when men feel inadequate, they can tend to feel not very good about themselves. And so if they're not practiced to balance that emotion and understand it, they can end up shutting down or getting angry when their inadequacy is triggered.
就是说往往是在某一些事情上面他们感觉到有一些心虚或者说不太自信的时候他觉得他自己做得不够好的时候那这个时候呢他很可能这种情绪啊压抑在那的情绪就会转变成一种愤怒啊不讲理的这种方式就会表现出来。
So we can be sensitive to that and try to say things in a way which don't trigger their inadequacy.
就是他的这种就是卡点这种障碍就是是被容易被激发出来的所以呢我们就是要比较的小心不要去踩雷啊踩到他那个点上去。
But if they themselves have deep-rooted very serious issues about that, they're going to have to take responsibility to manage that themselves.
但是如果这个问题是他自己根深蒂固的一个问题的话那可能不是你的单方面就能够解决的就是要他们自己去面对自己去自省然后去把这些问题解决掉。
Because most people when they do one thing wrong, they realize there's many things they do right and they don't get overly sensitive about it.
比如说因为大多数的人是这样的如果在某些地方他做得不好不尽如人意但因为很多地方他还是很擅长或者说他做得很好所以说他就不会老是那个钻牛角尖的停留在他原来的那个问题上面他就不会过于的敏感。
But if they haven't developed, you know, proper self-esteem in childhood or whatever, they may be easily triggered or if they've been abused or...Different situations.
如果这个人小的时候他有一些经历比如说他被 虐待过呀或者说他从小就非常自卑呀那么他即使变成了成人之后这个可能也是他的一个就像你说的卡点或者是他的一个弱项而且是特别容易引爆的激发的这么一个问题。
So, in those situations,They need to start to see I don't want to get a whole big thing. They want to develop an understanding of how they are valuable, and then from that respond with how can I help instead of respond defensively. So they need to learn to respond how can I help instead of defend or close down.
就是说对方他首先你要帮助他对自己建立的价值建立起一种信心，那么他就不会这么的自我防卫。然后你可以表达的就是说我怎么样才能够帮助到你，而不至于让他觉得好像是马上就像刺猬一样就自卫了。
You might also ask him, what can I do that would help make it easier for you to discuss these topics?
你也可以问对方，那我该怎么样做才能够让在这些问题上面我们之间的这个讨论能够更加的对你来说更加的轻松更加的容易一些呢？
Because as Uttama is saying, he might have some fear that.
因为我想可能在他的心里面有某一种恐惧吧。
Do you have another question?
Yes.
Oh, that's a comment, actually. He said, to a great extent, everyone has a stagnant mode and also the blocking point. On this blocking point, no matter what kind of communicative skills you use, it will never smooth out the blockage. It's like we can never wake up those who pretend to be sleeping. That's her comment.
Yeah.
The same from the same mother. She commented like that.
Yeah. So for sure, it's not like communication solves all your problems, but you'll be able to deal with your problems if you communicate better. You know, it's like it's not the cure all, but we do have to learn how to communicate well.
当然了，这个沟通技巧呢。沟通技巧沟通艺术肯定不是一个万灵药好像可以解决一切的问题这个肯定不会但是呢我们如果是不去沟通的话那就什么问题都解决不了所以说为了要尽可能的去解决一些问题我们还是要去努力的去沟通 OK next
yeah
美玲问一个问题什么样的沟通方式可以使两个人都很愉悦能够让对方很乐于听自己说话并可以让对方很心悦诚服的采纳好的意见 OK What kind of communicative skills can we adopt to make both sides very pleased to have such kind of pleasant communication and also to inspire the other person to beinterested in your talk and how to also what kind of communication can you make the other persons to adopt your suggestions with happiness and willingness
so communication
this is part
isn't
skill.
To be used
skill.
For coercion
Yeah.
The best way to encourage communication is to develop good listening skills.
I think the best way to improve the communication effect is to develop your listening skills. Listening skills.
And also it's important to...communicate the things you do appreciate that your spouse is doing?
Your spouse is doing. You communicate about the things that your spouse is doing? Is that what you said?
That you appreciate the things. Communicate your appreciation.
就是你去跟对方沟通的时候呢，你就是要表达你对对方的欣赏和感激。这个是一种非常好的沟通方式。
Because when you express appreciation for the things your spouse is doing right for you, And when you request respectfully for what you need in a relationship, you're very likely to get more of that.
就是说，如果说呢，你对于对方为你做的一些事情表示肯定、感激和欣赏，那么在你去要去表达你的需要的时候呢，就更加容易达成。
If you're complaining that you're, if you complain or if you're trying to coerce your spouse into doing something, you're very likely to get less of what you want.
你要是不停的抱怨，或者是这个像威逼利诱一样的去一定要对方去做一些什么事情，强迫对方一定要满足你的需要去做一些什么事情哈，那多半就是失败的。
So we want to turn our complaints into requests.
所以我们要把我们的这个抱怨首先把它要转化成为一种请求。
And if we're feeling upset about something, we want to start slowly and softly, not all guns fired.
如果你对某一件事情很不开心的话，你要慢慢的讲，小心翼翼的说，不要马上就把你所有的手枪全部都亮出来，然后狂扫一番，那绝对不行。然后好，那我们就快点哈。I think it's a little bit late. We can do it more quickly. Or you want to leave the questions for next time? We still have two questions.
Okay. Well, let's try. We'll answer short.
yeah. Darcy 询问，请问对方啊，特别的女方特别的强势。他会想尽各种方法让您按他的方式想法做事情，甚至会不惜一切代价逼着你去做。请问面对家里中这么强势的女人该怎么办？ If the wife in the family is very dominating, very powerful, very strong, and he will find out all sorts of different ways to make you do things according to her ideas, and he will just take any, will coerce or even force you to do things at any expenses. So for such a strong woman in the family, what can you do?
I don't quite understand the question. It sounds like the man's being strong and she doesn't want to, or she's being the boss.
The woman is very strong. She always takes all different ways to make you do things according to her will. And he will try to force you to do everything at any expenses, to do just to realize her idea. So she is a very, very mighty, very strong woman, very dominating person.
Right.
Dominating.
So that's hard because relationship is so reciprocal. I think you need to have a conversation that this isn't really working and what can we do to adjust?
就是如果是这种情况的话呢，应该是非常的不容易的，因为双方两个人生活在一起，它是一种相互的交流和是相互的，不是单方面的。所以说我要考虑的就是说，在行为方式上面应该有什么样的调整。
Because relationships shouldn't be about force; they should be, you know, willing and voluntary.
因为这两个人的这个关系应当是就是主动的、心甘情愿的，而不是一种强迫式的。
So it may be, I understand that you want it this way, but I'm not able to do that right now. So, you know, it's hard to say, but we have to be able to explain how it's not working for us.
那要是说对方就真的是那么的强势，总是想让你按照他的意图去做的事情，可是你又做不到的话，那你就要想办法能够让通过沟通让对方了解到你就是做不到，他的要求超过了你的能力，而且你也不愿意这样去做。
And we have to do it, you know, kindly and nicely.
他让你要以一种非常友善的这种方式去做要就是恰当的适当的这种方式去表达你的想法。
And the last question?
The last question is that 如果家人 the same person, 如果家人喜欢吃肉而我休息 Krishna 拒绝后一点都不想再继续为他们做任何的肉食了。我这样坚持原则对吗？还是说目前为了取悦家人，我还是需要为他们做一些肉食呢？我以怎样的方式与家人沟通，才能让他们理解并接受我修习 Krishna 拒绝的这些原则呢？因为在婚姻生活中，我有责任需要为家人做饭。My family members are addicted to meat eating, but after practicing Krishna consciousness, I don't want to continue making any meat for them at all.I want to stick to the principles. Is it right or not? Or just in order to please my family members, I need to make a little bit meat food for them. And which kind of communication should I adopt to talk with my family members so that they can understand and accept my principles in practicing Krishna consciousness. Because in my marriage life, I also have the duty to cook for the family members.
Yeah. I guess that's a bit of a hard decision. It's tough because you already were doing that for them and all of a sudden you've changed. So it's tough for them.
这个你之前是为他们一直有做肉啊什么的，然后突然间就不做了，就这个改变可能让他们会觉得比较的难以接受。
What do you recommend, Radhacharan?
That question comes up on a regular basis.
就是你的这个问题经常会冒出来的。
And of course, you can't just stop from one day to the next. It's going to turn the family upside down.
你不之间突然间就变了、
yeah.
马上就什么都不碰了，什么都不做。那这样的话呢，可能你们家就会天翻地覆了。
And therefore, I always give the same answer.
所以呢，我经常就是给一个同样的一个解决方案啊，同样的一个回答。
You have no other option but to learn to become an excellent vegetarian cook.
除了训练自己成为一个非常出色的一个素食的厨艺师。别无他法。
And to gradually introduce vegetarian dishes on the table.
然后慢慢的就把这个素食越做越多，端到你们家的餐桌上。
Until gradually, hopefully, they will admire your cooking and not expect the meat.
然后慢慢的，他们最后就特别喜欢你做的这些素食，然后他们就会把这个肉给忘。Learn is an excellent.
Yeah,
and we don't want to.
There are some other options. Sometime when there is a compromise, where the family will agree by going out to have meat, but not in the home.
Yeah.
还有一个就是过渡期，就是就是说你的家里人会同意他们要吃肉的话呢，就是到外面去吃。比如去餐厅去吃，但是在家里就不要吃，这也是一种方法。
Over the past 2 months now, we've had every Friday, some lectures. There's about 100 devotees who attend these lectures on the ethic, the lifestyle, recipes for cooking. There's many devotees involved, and we already have some very good results in that area.
Mm-hmm. 就是在过去的几个月当中，我们每个星期五下午都有一个关于这个普沙当的各个方面，包括这个我们的普沙当的文化呀，还有营养啊，这个烹饪的这个技巧啊，普沙当的这种意义啊，伦理啊，这个各个方面的一个讲座。然后每次在线的也有很多人哈，五六十人这样，七八十人，然后。经过这么一段时间，我们看到了一些非常积极有效的结果。
And we can't underestimate the value of nicely offered prasad, what effect it has.
还有一个就是说，因为我们的做的这个素食是供奉了 Krishna 的，所以变成了 prasadam 之后，它有一种是非常的有灵性的力量的，所以我们也不要低估这种力量。
So I think our time is up for today. Thank you very much.
Yeah, 那我想我们今天就讲到这里了。嗯。Okay. 好，关先生们，你们愿意那个吗？打开一下视频。啊。
You wanna come out of your?
Yeah, at least Sati.
Come on, Sati.
OK， 谢谢大家，拜拜，拜拜。还有吗？其他的同学？
阿里克什纳，
那我们互相见一下。
阿摩那普耶，
阿里克什纳，非常感谢。
阿摩那普耶，
啊，你有一个背景，我还说你那边怎么是白天呢？Yeah。
OK。
好，非常的感谢大家。
Thank you so much。
Hey,
Lata Rada, Haribo.
Haribo, Haribo. 啊，对，然后我们非常感谢我们的老师。OK. Thank you so much, Prabhu and Mataji.
Thank you.
So inspiring and very informative.
Hare Krishna.
And you're 2 weeks from now.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Ah, I see.